feel like I could go home now, but they want me to go for 20 more minutes. So I'll make a deal with you. If I only go 20 minutes, you guys will all pay attention for 20 minutes. Deal? Okay, half of you guys. All right. Well, I'll try and get the rest of you as we go. I have the second passage of Scripture, Ephesians 4, 17 through 24. If you turn your little bulletin over, you'll see on the back there, entitled the message, Becoming Who I Am in Christ. Before I get into my message, though, I wanted to clarify two things Darren said. Number one, in those pastors' meetings where we disagree, and he said, I'm usually wrong. He's kind of right on that one. So he gets off on that. But the second one, his little boy who said he's cute, Darren is cute. So those are two clarifications to the first half of the text. I'm usually wrong in pastor's meeting, and Darren is definitely cute. You can tell him I said that. The passage I have before us is a more personal one, not so much about the church, but about the individual. And there's kind of a break in the text, and we're going to read the passage of Scripture together. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to look at it part by part by part. So will you pray with me? Father, I come into your presence again in the name of your Son, Jesus. And I just pray that you would give clarity to me as I open up your word. I pray for my brothers and sisters here who hear your word. Lord, your word's living and active. And I pray, Lord, that it would be just that this morning in the hearts and lives of souls that are precious to you. Pray, Lord, that you would speak. And Lord, you'd be so gracious as to speak through me for the next 20 minutes. And Lord, we'd learn a little bit more about becoming more like Jesus. I pray this in your name. Amen. Well, without any further ado, I'd like to read the passage and then we'll go back and look at it. Since we're not going to be standing up and sitting down all the time, we'll just sit down as I read Ephesians 4, 17 through 24. Read along with me. Now I say this and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Like I said at the start, I like to just look at these verses. Let's look at the first three together. Paul writes, he says, Now I say this and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. This is a command of God that we are no longer to live or walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. It says that in verse 18, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. It's a horrible list. And God is highlighting characteristics of an unbeliever, someone who is not yet a Christian, a Gentile, as he puts it in verse 17. And I just wrote down the 10 descriptions of someone who doesn't know Jesus yet. Their minds are futile, they're darkened, they're alienated, they're ignorant, they're hard-hearted, they're callous, they've been given up on, they're sensual, they're greedy, and they're impure. With chapter 2 as a backdrop of Ephesians chapter 2, the original audience would have been reading this book, and they would have read chapter 2, which said, this is how we all once lived. By nature, we were born children of wrath. That's 2 verse 2. And as bad as that is, it's worse than 2:12. It says about the unbeliever, all of us, we are born this way, having no hope and without God in the world. Let 2:12 sink in for a moment. You were born with having no hope and without God in the world. There was nothing on earth that could save you. And there was nothing that you could do to save yourselves. All the prayers, all the lighting of candles, all the good deeds, everything you could try to do could not save you from your impending wrath and damnation that was coming. Romans 8:8 says, those in the flesh cannot please God. So you couldn't strum up enough good stuff to please God. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We had no hope, and we were without God in the world. And with a backdrop of bad news, Ephesians 2:4 shines like a clarion light to us. But God made us alive together with Christ. And it goes on, by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God intervened on your life. If you have been born again, if you are here today and you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if Jesus has saved you, that's because God has saved you. God made you together alive in Christ. And Peter writes in 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race now, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. Jesus has done it. It's by grace we have been saved through faith. And Paul writes and says, don't live like a Gentile anymore. Don't live the way you used to. Two takeaways I see from that. First one, we got to have compassion for lost people. We just do. We got to stop judging them. We got to stop pointing our finger at them. We got to tell them to stop doing those bad things. We got to tell them the gospel, brothers and sisters. These people are without God in the world, and they are without hope in this world. And we have the words of eternal life. So the first thing I see here is God says, remember where you were when I found you. Remember what you were all about. And have compassion on these people. Now, that isn't the thrust of the text. That's just parenthetically what I saw there when I read these. And it broke my heart for the people I'm going to go to work and be around in society tomorrow and maybe even later on today. These people have no hope. They're this list, 17 through 19. And God says, have compassion on these people. And I think what Paul's pointing at here is number two in this passage. Don't act like them anymore. Don't live like the Gentiles anymore, it says in verse 17. You must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. Don't live like them anymore. Be different. Walk with Christ. Don't live like you don't know who Jesus Christ is. Like the title says, become who you are in Christ. In 2017, will you become who God has created you supernaturally by being born again to be? Well, as we continue, Paul remembers his rescue. And he says in verse 20, that's not the way you learned Christ. I see Paul reminding his readers and remember what the darkness he came out of. Remember, he was on the Damascus Road when God intervened in his life and changed him. And I think Paul is remembering this. And he says, man, it was like yesterday. It still amazes me. Remember last week, if you were here, Dan Miller said when his little one-year-old son, Calvin, would get up from a nap and come out of the crib and he would take his first glance that morning or that afternoon of the Christmas tree. And remember what Dan said his little boy would do? Ooh, ah. That was Paul's life. Ooh, all my sins have been totally forgiven. All of them, past, present, future. Ah, I can't screw this up. Jesus has saved me. And it gave him this incredible freedom to love people and to teach truth to people. No fear for his own life because he had been forgiven. And he had that ooh, ah moment. Just like Dan's little boy has when he sees the lit up Christmas tree. Do you have that when you think about the gospel? Do you have that when you realize you were without hope and God found you and pulled you out of darkness and into his marvelous light? Paul did, and he writes to us. He says, I remember when I got called out. I remember when he rescued me. I remember when he died in my place. In verse 20 and 21, he writes, but this is not the way you learned Christ. Remember verses 17 through 19, living a certain way. He's like, that's not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, 20 and 21. I like to focus this little portion just on verse 20 and a word that's missing there, but so often we seem to put in. In verse 20, Paul writes, that's not the way you learned Christ. Notice he didn't say that's not the way you learned about Christ. See, learning about Christ is different than learning Christ. The best way I could think about it is my personal relationships. I thought about my most important personal relationship is with my wife, Carol, who's here. In 1996, when we met, I learned about Carol. I learned she was Caucasian. She was a girl. She was 5'6". She was single. She was extremely attractive. Did I mention extremely attractive? She was and is extremely attractive. Whoever laughed back there, I'll talk to you afterwards. But when I learned about Christ, about Carol, I learned these facts. I learned she was Irish. I learned she was a Christian. I knew that she was a teacher. I learned that she smelled good. I learned that her maiden name was McMahon. I learned that her parents' names were Terry and Nancy. I learned that she had four brothers. I learned that she was born in Union Grove, Wisconsin. And at the end of the day, big deal. I just learned some facts about her. A lot of people knew those facts about her. But man, when I learned Carol, oh, everything changed. You see, Carol stole my heart. And I learned Carol from 1996 to this morning. And when she stole my heart, everything changed. And I was unashamed to say, I'm with her. And as I learned Carol and continue to learn Carol, I learned to avoid what she hates and accentuate what she likes. I learned that she was worthy of all my affection and attention. I learned that I wanted to spend every day with her. And there were days I couldn't, and that was frustrating to me. See, I learned Carol. I got to know her. And I wrote this down. You want to learn someone? You want to know someone? Live with them. You'll learn. And you'll know them better. See, I would say, I could sum up my relationship with Carol as, I want to know Carol. I just want to know her. The person Carol. So I married her. And for the past 20 years almost, we've been getting to know each other more and more. And I'm learning Carol. In much the same regard, Paul writes in verse 20, that's not the way you learned Christ. Now, many of us in this room would say, oh, I learned about Christ. I know Mary and Joseph were his parents. I know the wise men showed up a little later. Shepherds were the first to hear. I learned about Christ. I learned that he fed 5,000 people with a kid's lunch. I learned that it was a virgin birth, that Christmas isn't about Santa, it's about his birthday. I learned that Easter's not the Easter bunny. I learned that it's the resurrection. I learned that he was a Jewish carpenter before. I learned he walked on water. I learned he died on the cross. And to all that, I would say, great, you have demon faith. Even the demons believe that and shudder. No, have you learned Christ? When I was going over this, I thought, how did I learn Christ? Not learn about Christ. I learned about Christ all throughout life and all through reading the Bible. When did I learn Christ? And I think I learned Christ, it happened in 1995. In 1995, Jesus decided to live inside of me. And when he came and lived inside of me, everything changed. Yes, Jesus stole my heart. I was born again. And on that great and wonderful day of September 29th, 1995, he decided to live inside this body, and he's been there ever since. And I'm not ashamed to say I'm learning Christ, not about Christ. I'll learn about him too, but I want to learn Christ. I think Paul wrote it best in Philippians chapter 3. I want to know Christ. Do you? I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Not that I've already attained to this or already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. In 2017, do you want to learn Christ? Do you want to learn a couple facts about him? You want to learn about Christ? I'm telling you, there's a world of difference between learning about Christ and learning Christ. It's my heart's cry in 2017 for myself, for all of you. Learn Christ. Learn Christ. Don't live the way the Gentiles live. Remember who you were when he found you. Learn Christ. Don't get to know the facts or the correct doctrine or biblical Christianity or on and on. Learn Christ. You say, Wayne, I have. He stole my heart. I've been born again. He lives inside of me. He's taken up residence inside of me. What should I do? Great question. The last three verses we'll look at for today. Verses 22, 23, and 24. God commands us to put off our old self, what we're born like, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Former manner of life there in verse 22 is your old self. You were born this way. And I thought about this. I used to do things this way. No more. I'm not doing it Wayne's way anymore. I used to live this way. I don't want to live that way anymore like the Gentiles do. I used to think this way. I don't think about things that way anymore. I think about things the way he wants me to think about things. My former manner of life. Well, I guess I could describe my former manner of life in 1 John 2:16. The former manner of life was the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and everything else I could throw in there under that heading. That's our former manner of life before you were in Christ. And what was our former manner of life? Was the end of verse 22 say? It was corrupt through deceitful desires. Deceitful is another word for lying. I have all sorts of lying desires. If I have this, It'll make me happy. Lie, it won't make you happy. Well, if I have more of this, I'll be content. It won't make you content. It's a deceitful lie from your old nature. So how do I get rid of this? How do I not live in verses 17, 18, and 19? How do I get away from this lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life that's still within me? Well, God says, put it off and then put on. Verse 23 and 24. Be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self. Remember what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17? If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things start to go, put off, and new things start to come, Christ-like things. And put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness. Notice it doesn't say self-righteousness, but put on Christ in the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. True righteousness, I think, could be described in Romans 3:22. The righteousness of God that comes through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him. That's true righteousness and holiness. And you say, if you're like me, old habits are hard to die. See, I lived with myself for 29 years before Jesus came into me. So those are some old habits, some ingrained patterns of thinking. I needed help, and Christ knew that, and he saved me. And now that we walk together, he commands me to do one thing, and I think the answer to how to put off the old and put on the new is found in verse 23. Verse 23 says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How do we put off and put on? By being renewed in the spirit of our minds. I'm beholden to Matt Chandler. He's a preacher out of Dallas who taught me this phrase. If you're going to write one thing down today, write this down. In 2017, do things that affirm my affections for Christ. In 2017, do things that will affirm my affections for Christ. I think that's another way of saying renew the spirit of my mind. I must be about doing things that affirm my affections for Christ. You see, I have affections for Christ, but they wane and they grow dull, and the affections for this world rise just by living in the world. I thought about even this afternoon. Affections for the world are everywhere, constantly filling up my affections for the world. I'm going to go to the mall a little bit later with my family, and my affections for the world and the things they're selling there are going to be raised, and I'm going to affirm my affections for the world at the mall. I don't have it on me. I have a cell phone. Man, that thing affirms my affections for the world. I want more of the world the more I look at my smartphone. I thought about your job tomorrow. That's going to affirm your affections for the world. And in a couple hours, I think 3.5 hours, there's going to be a football game that's going to affirm your affections for the world. It just kind of comes naturally. It gets bombarded at us. In 2017, it will. It will later today. And God would tell us today, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Or, as Matt Chandler would say, do things that affirm my affections for Christ. I'd like to end. I have a list. God was saying to me, write down all the things that affirm your affections for Christ. What are some things I do to affirm my affections for Christ? You should have a list. They'll probably be different, but these are 5 things that affirm my affections for Christ, and I'd just like to share them with you. Number one, I read. I read Spurgeon sermons. I read J.C. Ryle commentaries. I read Pilgrim's Progress, greatest Christian book ever written, after the Bible. Once a year, I read that, and I read anything by Tim Keller. Those are all books that affirm my affections for Christ. I love Jesus more after I read this stuff. You say, I'm not much of a reader. Well, my second thing, I listen. I listen to music by David Crowder Band and Lecrae and Tripp Lee. Their lyrics in those three specific artists affirm my affections for Christ. I love Christ more after I listen to Tripp Lee or Lecrae, or I listen to the David Crowder Band. And then I also listen to sermons by Matt Chandler, David Platt, and John Piper. These are men God has gifted, and every time they preach, I love Christ more. So I make it a point to affirm my affections for Christ by listening to good music and good sermons. Number three, I walk through cemeteries when it's warm out. The reason I do that, the Bible says, teach me to number my days aright that I might gain a heart of wisdom. Every time I walk through the cemetery, the Lord affirms my affections for Christ, and I realize one day the next funeral I go to is going to be mine. And am I ready to meet my God? And my affections for Christ are renewed and I have a renewing spirit in my mind, and suddenly the world isn't quite as attractive after I've been in the cemetery praying to the Lord for a half hour, singing to the Lord. So I walk through cemeteries. I read good books. I listen to good music and sermons. I walk through cemeteries. Number four, I spend time with men who love Jesus wholeheartedly and challenge me. I had a friend a while back said, show me who you hang with, I'll show you who you become. So I hang with men that are on fire for Jesus, that challenge me, that sharpen me, that prod me on, and that make my affections for Christ grow, and they affirm my affections for Jesus in the unseen world, and it renews my mind living in this world still. So I spend time with men who love Jesus wholeheartedly. And number five, I put in ink, and I'm committed to going to a men's Bible study on Tuesday night where I get challenged and my affections grow for Jesus Christ. I go to a Thursday morning Bible study with other men who love the Lord. I attend church on Sundays. Other things don't sneak in. It's not in pencil. Worshiping Jesus on Sunday isn't okay to do if I don't have anything better going on. No, Christ is number one, and I affirm my affections for Christ by coming to church, and I have this little room over there, and I'm in an ABF class with 50 other crazy people who love Jesus. And every Sunday, we affirm our affections for Christ, and we renew the spirit of our minds. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, when you're doing things that affirm your affections for Christ, and you renew the spirit of your mind, it's really a lot easier to throw off some of my patterns of thinking and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You want a healthy, unified church in 2017? Become that person who affirms your affections for Christ and has a renewing spirit of your mind. Can I pray with us? Father, thank you so much for this church. I don't know, I was thinking about driving here, and last year out of the 52 weeks I was here, I think you were 52 for 52. You affirmed my affections for your beautiful son. And Lord, you renewed the spirit of my mind every Sunday I was here. So thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for giving us places to go, people to grow with, and your spirit to guide us. I love you today, and just pray for my brothers and sisters that 2017 will be the year that they look more like Jesus. I pray this in your holy name. Amen.